Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope versus the Bulldog.
And it is the clash of the titans. In one corner, you have Mike Shope. And he is mad.
I'm sorry if I offended you by comparing a third overall pick who plays defensive tackle from Alabama with another exact same thing from 7 years ago.
And then in the other corner, you have
the Bulldog.
And he's mad.
I'm taking over, all right? It's a coup. But I come in, it's bloody. If you want to, on a case-by-case basis, sport-by-sport, come talk to the king and present your case, I'm cutting off heads.
So that's about it.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I hate that. If anybody who listens cares enough about this show to, like, think about it, like, on any next level, and they think ever that I or we just sort of dictate certain things. Listen, I hate that. And I think we use it because I hate it. I think that's why Joe likes it. I know Ryan was that way. Whenever I slipped up, I would know not to do it. But once in a while, I would just let it slip that I hated something he played back on top of me. I'd be like, okay, well, that's not going away. Because
right.
It's in ink, no.
It's in ink, and Joe was going to use it because he knows that I hate it, which is fine. But I hate it because, so that was the day of the draft, and there were like 2 hours of increasing reports of the Bills trading up with the Jets. And I was just in here going, you guys had better figure out not to do that by 7 o'clock, because that would just be ruinous. And we were talking about the football side of that, and also just for me, and also for you, I think in different ways, maybe, I don't know, just like, oh, now I'm going to crush this, and I'm going to hear about how right. I'm only doing it because it's being negative or whatever.
Right. I had no idea. Just, like, you know, who knows how good Quinnen Williams is going to be, or Ed Oliver or whatever. It wasn't like I think this player is horrible. It was really work related. Like for work, this is going to be a thing if they do this. So yeah, that was the most tense I've been watching a draft in a while.
Oh, and so we're sitting here all afternoon that day. And it's just accumulating. And what that little rant was a guy who called up and said, like, he just sort of put it on me. And it wasn't just, they should make this trade. It was like, you don't have the right, or you're just doing it because, you know, something like that. And that's when I can.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell me I'm not allowed to think this?
Right.
I'm not telling you you're allowed to think this or you're not allowed to think this. I'm just, you know, let's keep it like that. I do think that trading up for a defensive tackle would be a disastrous move, the likes of which this team has made many times. Like, they just have gotten the draft wrong so many times. And if I got to sit here 2 years after trading out for Patrick Mahomes, which, by the way, was a trade that I liked and defended and would still defend, but still, like, that happened.
Right.
We saw what turned into Mahomes. Like, anyway, just whatever you want the list to be. Now I got to sit here and sort of talk about that all the time. And, oh, no, he's actually going to be – I mean, I just would have hated that. I'm so glad they didn't do it. It's the best thing the Bills have done in a long time is not make that trade. I'm so glad they didn't make the trade.
Right. I just go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's all right. I was going to turn it.
I just sort of I still laughed the whole thing, you know, the way it all turned out. Like, I, you know, I'm trying to find a place to stand. And so, of course, you know, you're like angry, like really fired up. It's like, I think they're just saying stuff. I'm not worried. I was worried, but it's all just smoke. It's smoke. It's lies. It's lies time. Don't worry about it. Whatever. Who knows what was right?
I still don't. It could have been a scheme from one side or both.
Yeah, it made sense to me that it could have been a scheme. That's why I said it.
Yep, so. It could have been a scheme. It had a lot of people buying in that day. I mean, there were a lot of people. But, you know, what's that even? That can be 5 or 10 different reporters getting the same tip, or it can be, because this happens, when somebody else has that, then you just have that much more confidence to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not have anything different, but you feel like, well, if John Clayton is one of the people, if John Clayton reports that this is a discussion, then I think it's safe to do that. But it doesn't make it right necessarily. It doesn't mean you're right.
Right.
So there was probably some conversation how close the Bills were ever to saying yes. If I remember right, I breezed through, or not, just quickly watched the video the Bills put out after the draft from their draft room. And they were talking about trading up.
Like
that's part of what they show you is, you know, sort of they have an appetite for that.
Yeah.
And then they did trade up. You know, then what, second round, third round, both? The year before was the second round twice.
They traded up for the tight end, I know. I don't remember if they did anything with
I think for Cody Ford, too, in the second
round. Yeah, they did. That's right.
So second and third.
Yeah.
So 2 years in a row, they've traded up twice on the second day.
Right.
That's easy to remember. It's all twos.
Okay. Yeah, good. Now I got it. I'll never forget it.
Second day, two times, 2 years in a row.
Right.
Okay. We'll see.
So when do you pay all these people? that's the question. What do you do with them when it's time to get paid? Who gets paid?
Who gets paid?
Running backs don't get paid. Left tackles get paid. I don't. Will Cody Ford be a left tackle by the time his contract is up, or will he continue to be a right tackle? Do you pay right tackles? Who do you pay?
It's wild, and part of it is are you winning? When the Bills were like in the whatever the bottom of the drought, what's the low point? Maybe 10 years ago, Jerron and. It had been already a long time, just was sort of flat and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had a couple good players. They were never really terrible. Maybe 2010 is when they were at their worst. They're probably their worst team.
I think Marv as the GM into Russ as the GM is like the real, like, what are we doing?
So that's going back a little farther.
Okay.
Like 06, 07?
Yeah. That's right. That's right out of that's out of Donahoe is Marv and then Russ is, right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. I mean, if you're not winning, you can justify anything. Or if you're winning, you can justify. I mean, like you can take good players and decide they're not a good investment because your team isn't good. Mm-hmm. You don't have maybe much of, in the way of a connection with the fan base. You might want to tank even. Like, that would be more likely now than then because I think it's more in vogue in sports in general now. So there'd be different reasons why you could. And if you're winning, winning it can be tougher because you might end up, like this could happen with one of these running backs.
Right.
Wanting to keep somebody who really is probably not worth it, but you've been winning and it will seem maybe to your players or your fans like a bad idea to cut the cord.
I mean, both of these running backs to different degrees. Like so far what we've got is a report that Elliott in Dallas is privately telling people that he'll hold out if he doesn't get a new deal. And I assume that means this year. Melvin Gordon, his agent, has gone public with that. Like went to ESPN and said, we're holding out if we don't get a new deal. Both of those teams are like playoff contenders, if not Super Bowl contenders. Like those are serious teams. I mean, Dallas is Dallas. Dallas is like, Dallas is always a contender, even if they really don't deserve it. Like people just talk about them like they should be great because they're Dallas.
They both won playoff games last year.
The Chargers legitimately, they're both legitimate contenders. So, right, you've got these important pieces. It's Pittsburgh. I mean, it's the exact same thing. I mean, Pittsburgh is a contender. As long as they've got that quarterback, they're thought to be a contender, and they were thought to be a contender last year, and he had Bell making all this noise, and he went all the way. He went as far as you can go. I mean, he never showed up at all, and they ended up missing the playoffs. They got performance out of his replacement. Like, I don't think his absence cost them the playoffs, but I guess you can argue it. You know, they didn't make it. So did he hurt them or not? Even though you got the yards, you got everything you needed from Connor, but you just, you know, it's a weird year and maybe bad for Pittsburgh and maybe bad for the Chargers and the Cowboys as well. Because if they want to do what Pittsburgh did, a lot of their fans are going to be going, yeah, great. I'm glad James Connor was really good. They didn't make the playoffs. Like, what are we trying to do here?
But that is the trap of football. it's making the playoffs, or it's even like your win total, perhaps. That is the they were fourth in the league in yards and sixth in points, the Steelers. Like, they were 9-6-1. Do I want to say they missed the playoffs, or do I want to say they only lost six games?
Right.
Like, they scored like crazy, they put up yards like crazy, and they lost six games. Whose fault is it? You know, like, that is the trap of football sometimes. And that's the point. But it's part of the point about, like, how good your team is can warp how you think, you know, it should proceed with certain players. If I want people to hear a sound that maybe they would enjoy, I'll just ask you, should the Bills trade for Melvin Gordon? Do you think they should do that? Maybe a pick.
No, thank you.
Could some team do that?
Sure.
If the Chargers think that they could, I could see the Chargers thinking that that's not a bad idea. Like, they could. If they like their other guys and they fully believe in the idea that he's replaceable, being a running back, and like, I could see that. And you want to give me what? A second? Couldn't you see them doing that?
I have a hard time seeing them do that. Because right now, what will happen, and I'm thinking about the fans here, this isn't a point about what's going to help the team the most necessarily on the field. Like, absolutely, that's the right thing to do if they think that this isn't going to get resolved. Like, if they're sitting there going, I don't care. You've got 2 years left, and you got a contract. Shut up. We're not talking. Then you'd want to recoup something for him. You know, although, again, it's 2 years. It's not like he can leave. It's not exactly like Bell, because he's got time to go yet, right?
When did Bell – it's not exactly like Bell last year, but Bell started complaining.
That's right.
Before that. He didn't step away, though.
Right, right. So all I'm saying is, if Gordon were to do what Le'Veon Bell did last year, the Chargers still have him. I think, or at least they – I'm not sure. Has he got 2 years left?
I think that would be right.
I'm getting
team control.
Now. Team control.
Well, if he sits out, he would still have to be their property.
Right. So anyway.
Doesn't it? Isn't that right?
I think so. Yes. So, but here's the thing that I'm trying to get to, and I'm sloppy doing it. Right now, people haven't really taken sides yet. But eventually, because I think this is borne out by our experience here, and I think this happens all around the league, and maybe it happens all around sports. When the guy who has a contract wants to get paid more, he becomes the bad guy. Everyone sides with the team, which is weird because we sort of hate the man, right? Isn't the league, the teams are the man, right? Though they are the suits, and the players are the employees, and they're the rank and file, and we're like all pro-union people, right? Like, but yet, when it comes to sports, the athlete becomes the villain, and the team is the one being victimized. We agreed, we shook hands, you signed your name, you have a contract, and now you want more, and so you become the bad guy. If the Chargers trade him away to get something to help them next year, they take that on. They take some of that bad guy. They take the black hat away from Melvin Gordon to an extent, because they escalated it to the point where Gordon now, he can't come back. He can't decide to fold and come back and help the team and make us as good as we can be, because they just said, to hell with you. We're done. And I don't know if they would want to do that. They might be better served for their team, the players, their fans, everyone, to just sit tight and like, okay, well, if he doesn't come, we'll win the PR battle at least, and we have guys that can replace him. If we trade him, we're going to take heat, and we're not getting anything that's going to help us right now. It's going to help us next year probably, if it's a second-round pick or the year after, whatever. But I don't know. Is it worth it? Like, wouldn't you rather, as the team, have the player bear the brunt of the ill will? How much is that worth? Maybe it's not that much. I don't know. I just talked and talked and talked. I'm not sure if it's that big a deal.
Well, I think the idea of the Chargers, they would know really like just what they think he's threatening, like how serious mm-hmm. to take his threat. And I just think it would be really cool if if they're like, okay.
Yeah.
And we'll take a second round pick and trade you to Tampa. Tampa, I want Tampa to add somebody because that's what should happen.
Mm-hmm.
Their running backs aren't good. Their new coach likes veterans. They really should be doing that. Maybe it's McCoy. Maybe it's Melvin Gordon. I don't know. Like, I want that. So the Chargers are like, okay, well, that's fine. And they have some practice squad guy who's third string behind Eckler and Justin Jackson, and they go to games. They go into the season. And that's fine. And I want to see what that looks like.
So why would why would any team trade for that guy, though?
Well,
like if you're going to have to give him a new contract, right?
Maybe. Or maybe it's different. Maybe you give him – maybe a new contract isn't so big. Maybe a new contract is a little bit – like teams with all the cap room they have, I don't know what Tampa Bay's situation is, but they can always find money and reasons to justify these things. Do they really all agree that the running back is – the star running back is not worth it? I mean, to this point, there are teams that think he's worth it, that that's worth it. There are people in the game. Mm-hmm. You just have Dave Gettleman. The Giants hired a guy who couldn't wait to brag about picking a running back second overall. And then they won four games, and he still seems really cocky about it, even though the running back was great. It's the whole point. So somebody could do it. The Chargers could be a team that thinks we'll take the chance. Another team could want to do that with them. Maybe there's a contract that's not incredible that the player will settle for, and they all go try to make their point.
Mm-hmm.
The player and the Chargers and the new team, they all go out to the field and try to make their point.
Well, I think I would support the team doing it, but as I think we talked about this on Thursday last week, it's a lot easier to say that when it's not your team and it's not your guy and it's like not, you know, it's just like objectively speaking, right is right, like you always say, like. If you don't believe in this, you don't believe in paying these guys, then the Chargers should absolutely do that before they can't recoup anything for the guy, before he sits out a whole year and his value is what? Because it starts changing, again, if you want to trade for him. I think on the open market, Le'Veon Bell tells you that sitting out a year does not hurt your ability to get a big contract with lots of guaranteed money because he got that. He didn't recoup the money he lost sitting out, but he did get paid. So he's okay, but the team had nothing to show for it. So the Chargers, while Melvin Gordon is still coming off of the seasons he's had and is pretty well thought of, if they want to get anything in a trade, now's the time to probably do it. If he goes into a holdout and doesn't play, I know trading him for something substantive gets a lot harder, I think, as time goes by.
Nobody traded for Bell?
No.
That, I think, maybe had to be a bigger contract. Maybe it was a bigger headache. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. A part of me thinks, like, if it's got to be a bigger contract, then it's got to be a bigger contract. Maybe. And, like, good luck.
Is he Le'Veon Bell?
No, not even.
No, he's not.
I almost want to say not even close.
I don't think it is close.
Okay.
I mean, they're on different tiers.
Yeah.
He's not Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, bring it on. More strange noises for the Bills to do it. To trade for Melvin Gordon, trade a draft pick for Melvin Gordon. What are these, you know, other guys? Who could they?
Oh, my Lord.
Who knows what the Chargers would take, but.
Yeah. No, I already have more running backs than I know what to do with over here. I already got a high price running back that I'd like to offload myself.
Trade Zay Jones.
I don't know that they want to do that, but that's what I'd like to do.
Trade Zay Jones for Melvin Gordon.
Oh, my Lord.
Trade Zay Jones and X for Melvin Gordon. Right, Joe? Zay Jones. He's a little nutty, and the Bills have Brown and Beasley now. Second-round pick. Did okay. Is he California?
Well, me personally, I wouldn't want them to trade anything because I have to pay Melvin Gordon, and I don't like the player enough, let alone the position, to want to give him that contract, even if I had him. Like, if I were the Chargers, like that's the I would sooner cut him, I think, before I would pay him that. But I would try to trade him first, obviously.
Trade McCoy and Jones for Gordon.
And then pay him? No. No, I don't want to be in the business of paying running backs.
That's my problem. I don't want to
do
pay
that.
Him.
I don't either.
And I would rather pay Le'Veon Bell $15 million before I would pay Melvin Gordon $10. Like, I think he's that much better than I wouldn't want to go near that.
I'd rather take the package you just laid out in front of me and trade it for Duke Johnson, who's a lesser player.
Love it.
But I don't have to pay him as much, and the only issue there isn't he wants a new contract, I think. It seems like it's mostly he just wants an opportunity to get more snaps.
I would love to trade for Duke Johnson. I would want to trade like a fourth-round pick for Duke Johnson and not those other players who I can't imagine the Browns would want. And then he would be the best skill position player on my team. Any argument? Wouldn't Duke Johnson be the best skill position player on the Bills?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the player because he's barely had a chance to play. So like, he's that good?
I would say, well, who's number one?
Well, right.
Who's the number one skill position player on the Bills?
Robert Foster.
Okay. Right. I mean, Robert Foster or John Brown or LeSean McCoy.
Right.
Those are the possibilities.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be really cool. Like, if I'm the Bills, that's what I would try to do, not the other thing.
It's a different type
of... I'd like
to
talk about the other thing.
It's a different type of reception, but even you look at, like, how the Bills' receivers and their standing in the league, and then you look at Duke Johnson, like, his receptions would probably rank higher than any of the Bills' receivers. It's above 50. Last year was the only year he was below 50, and he had 47 catches.
Yeah, and the Bills don't have the right quarterback for that. They don't have the right... I mean, I'm not turning Duke Johnson into a poor man's McCaffrey with this quarterback, like with this offense.
Probably not.
Like, this offense is really going to be interesting, and we've all said it and heard other people say it. I mean, it's going to be the big play. If they're going to be – how much they try to run it and how good they are at it will probably be important to them. I think their season depends on big throws. Because I don't...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think they will be able to sustain drives unless they are great running the ball, and I can't see how that happens. So I'm going to need, you know, touchdown. I'm going to need that like once a game. I'm just going to need touchdown. Okay. And then a good defense and 23-20, something like that, to have a good year. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
When you think about what Allen does well, you want to surround him with guys like that, so that certainly helps. But, yeah, I like Foster there. I've been asked a few times, people said, well, what about Zay Jones? If you had to choose just one, Foster or Zay, for me it would be Foster, and I don't really think there's a question about it.
Jeff Radcliffe, Friday. I'll just piggyback that. So when are you drafting either Robert Foster or Zay Jones in a fantasy draft late, mid late to late. And at that point, I want to try to go win my league. Like, I'm looking for upside. I'm looking for a home run. And Foster, if he gets the chance and continues on last year, could be that.
I would still, myself, I think this is Radcliffe we had on Friday. He's big on John Brown, right?
Yep. Relatively.
Right. I respect that. I would put all my eggs in Foster's basket. Like, I still think he's going to be the leading receiver, leading yards, leading. I think he's going to be the guy.
And I can't do that because they signed Brown.
I know.
And like, they have no investment in Foster. It's a little, it's tough. I mean, he might deserve the chance to do what you're talking about, but will he get it? With Brown and Beasley both signed and Jones on the team, like, they're going to use John Brown. And if they use John Brown, I don't know if they need Robert Foster. Like, that's why I'm not there on him. But I love the idea of the player. Like, he was great. Yeah. He was really good.
Yeah.
But they decided, you know, for respectable reasons, to spend the money on the position like they did. And most people agreed with it, understood it. So now what? Like, if there's no injury to sort it out for them, how will they do it? I don't know. Here is David with us. Hello, David.
Hey, fellas. to that skill position thing, I think T.J. Yeldon's got to be in the top three, maybe even top two. And he's kind of like a, more of a premium Duke Johnson, in my opinion. That's all I got to say. Have a good day.
You too. I don't know. I'm not here to tell you definitively that he's not better than Duke Johnson of Cleveland, but I just, like, you know, he might not be. You know, they're both guys who've been sort of limited in how they've been used.
Right. I view both guys the same, which is, what have you really proven in the league? I just don't know. I don't know what I would expect out of either guy as a number one running back or anything. Like, I don't know. Yeldon catches the ball. Okay. How dangerous is he after he catches the ball? Like, is he someone that's going to hurt somebody down the field? Or is he just someone who, you know, is like replacement level, catches the ball out of the backfield guy? Because I don't know. I don't have a lot of value in that. I should be able to find a guy that can do that. You know, well, I guess like I just did. But what is that really getting me?
Thanks, David. I'm just really eager to see what they look like they want to get out of their offense when they start to line up. That includes Singletary and Yeldon and Brown and Foster and just all these guys. Like, what do they really want? What do they want to have be the result? If everybody's healthy, what is the result that they want in terms of personnel on this team? Would that change week to week? Could they be like a Patriots thing where it's just different guys, especially at running back, week to week? We'll see. Want to play a game?
Sure, I'd love to play a game.
All right, this game is called... Joe, you got some music? That's not what this game is called. I interrupted myself to ask Joe if he had music. You guys can play as a team. 20 questions if you need them.
Oh, boy.
The game is called, and I'll tell you how to play after I tell you what it's called.
Uh-huh.
The game is called, What Did I Buy Today? Here's how you play. Yes or no questions until you figure out what I bought today. What did I buy today?
Did you buy a TV? I don't want to burn a question on the TV. It needs to be asked with all the TV.
No, anybody. Question one.
That doesn't count. No.
Okay.
I knew you didn't buy a TV. Well, I mean, I was pretty sure.
Okay.
I think it would have come up already.
You're right. It would have.
Yeah. Is it something for your car?
No.
Okay. Scratch gas off the list. It's not gas.
Is it something for your... is it a tool of some kind?
No.
That wasn't like 100% no, though. That was like a...
could be perceived as a tool, could be described as a tool. But
file that no.
But it's not a circular saw.
Right.
Which is a power tool, not just a tool. A hammer tool. Circular saw, power tool. Sorry, just making sure everybody knows what's what.
What did I buy today?
I buy lunch almost every day, so it's probably not that.
Is it a musical instrument of some sort?
It is not a musical instrument.
It's something for your children.
No.
It's something for you.
Selfish.
Yes.
You're so selfish.
And it's my daughter's birthday, and I bought this for me. It's five questions.
Now here's what I'm thinking. He was shopping for his daughter and then came across something else.
Music change.
I'm just going to ask, is it a record player?
No.
Is it a home electronics of any kind?
No.
How many questions have we asked?
Seven.
So far?
Can this this item be used for... would it be used in a celebration?
No.
Is it electronic?
No.
I just asked.
Oh. Whoops.
Not good teamwork there.
That's true.
Is this clothing?
Yes.
Is it a championship jacket of some sort?
No.
One of those hockey night in Canada blue blazers. The clothing response. The clothing response. But yeah, shoes, belt, accessories.
Mm.
Belt. No.
Belt buckle.
No. Sneakers. Is it sneakers?
Nope.
New headphones.
Nope.
That wouldn't have gotten the weird yes on clothing.
What kind of? You're wearing them.
13 questions. This is my favorite song.
Good, because you're going to be listening to it for a while. I try to think of more stupid questions to ask you.
You ever hear the Bonnie Raitt cover of this song?
Her slide guitar is impeccable on it. And just like that, it's over.
What did I buy today?
Shoelaces.
Nope.
A new watch.
Nope. With every question, I'm writing down the number question and then crossing it out.
Wow.
I know. Look at this. This joke.
Wow.
Just writing down the number and then crossing it out.
You bought a hat.
No. You guys are terrible at this.
You bought a dune buggy.
New sunglasses.
Which one? Are these both questions? A dune buggy?
He just got free sunglasses at the golf tournament. He's not buying sunglasses. Mm.
Can you... Is this item bigger than you?
No.
Socks.
No. Two more questions.
So this next question has to set up the final question.
Yeah, nobody final listening is even going to have it. Like he's not. These are not. You're not even on a path to the answer.
No, we're not.
Really?
No.
You've only asked two questions that might have gotten yes or one.
Which one was that again? I forget already.
I think it was Joe asked, "Is it clothing?" A friend just texted, is it from NFLshop.com?
Right,
I won't count that against your question, but no, it is not.
Okay.
That's funny. You got to listen every day. There's just Easter eggs all through the show. All right, guys.
Is it sports related?
Nope. One more guess. You can ask a question and then guess. One final guess.
Is it footwear?
No. Okay. Guess? Final guess?
You bought a new golf bag.
No. It's not clothing. All right. Listen, I will guess that you do own this.
Okay.
Yourself. And I would guess Joe doesn't.
All right.
All right.
I own it. Joe doesn't.
Sign of the times. A cassette player.
A newspaper.
It's not a clothing.
No, it's not a cassette player. Or
parachute
a
pants.
Or parachute pants. No, it's not none of those things.
Cargo shorts.
Garden gloves.
Garden gloves.
The answer is garden gloves.
Sure, I've got.
Yes?
Work gloves. Yeah.
You're going to call them work gloves.
But
let's talk about what they really are.
Sure.
They're garden gloves.
Well, garden gloves are white and they've got the sort of black sticky fingers.
Okay.
Those are gardening gloves.
These are not white, they do have that. Right.
And I do have those, yes. And then there are other gloves that are thicker and heavier that are they're just more protective for heavier work that are not gardening gloves, that are work gloves. So they're really the same classification, but okay, gardening gloves. Are you really grinding it outside?
I am. And I went out yesterday and Saturday and was just pulling weeds. Got all kind. Every year there's a Women's World Cup. I get outside and pull some weeds.
Uh-huh.
And there were just a lot. So I am all scratched up. I assume maybe some poison ivy, but I don't know if I even react to it. And I've got like a couple of scrapes. I've got Band-Aids. And I'm like, you know what? This is really dumb. I should have gloves for this.
Yep.
Because I am out there pulling weeds. Some of them are like 3 feet tall.
Oof.
And some of them come right up. Some of them are the worst. Need the Clippers, all this. I'm out there just like getting after it. So I got to have the gloves. Because without the gloves, your fingers just get really cut up.
For sure. You want them. Yeah.
No. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I went and bought garden gloves.
Yeah, all right.
What do you think of that? Makes sense.
I think it's about time.
How old are you? I'm 47.
It's about time you got some damn gardening gloves.
Isn't it?
Yes. Get to work. You already were to work. Now you're protected. Good.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so that was a game. There was the game.
We never really got close.
Listen, everybody else knows this probably. When you're playing 20 questions, you don't ask directly what the thing is.
I know.
That's for after.
I know.
You sort of just hone in on it.
Whatever.
You don't like this game. This has never been your game.
I'm terrible at 20 questions. I am terrible at it. I don't know that I ever have gotten the right answer. Anytime we've done it, I don't think I've ever gotten the right answer. I'm lousy at it. I need a better plan. This should be a goal. I'm 54. Let's improve. Let's improve the 20 questions capabilities here. It's something to work on.
By the way, it's a final at Coors Field. The Giants 19 and the Rockies 2 in today's first of a doubleheader, a split doubleheader in Denver. My man Marquez gave up 11 runs in less than 3 innings. Ouch. Not good for the old whip. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Should the Bills trade for Melvin Gordon?
Jesus, no.
Give us a call. This is WGR.
All right, more concert tickets for you right here. We have, I'm sorry, Joe. I've been distracted and texting my kids about exciting developments regarding the television up at the cottage. Is it one pair or two we're giving away for this? One pair of tickets right now for 311 and the Dirty Heads, Saturday, July 20th at Darien Lake Amphitheater. Minimum value of the prize is $50. General contest rules apply. You can get tickets and info at livenation.com or win a pair right here. 644-9878, caller 5 gets the prize.
Perfect weather these days, right?
Yesterday was the best day of the summer so far.
Perfect.
Hot enough to, like, if you want to do something where you're going to get hot and you need to cool off, okay. But if you just want to kind of sit in the outside and not, you weren't going to be just sitting there sweating. It wasn't humid, a little breeze. Yes, perfect. Perfect.
Too nice for watching a 5-hour tennis match indoors. You gotta move this Wimbledon to like winter so you can so you can actually watch it and not feel bad about yourself being inside all day when it's perfect out.
I just sort of kept doing like you were in and out, right? Same thing. I was just doing little stuff. Like I gotta empty out that cooler and wash that out and come back. Okay, now I'm here for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Okay, I'm gonna go do something else. Yeah, that's kind of how it went yesterday.
First ever men's, or any, I don't even need the word men's, first ever Grand Slam final to go to a fifth set tiebreak. And it took 12-12. The new rule was, I didn't know about it until yesterday.
Me either, yeah.
12-12 is what it took. Federer up 9-8, serving 40-15. Sort of gacks both of those points.
8-7, I think he was up.
Was it 9-8? Was it 8-7?
I think it was 8-7. I think he had a chance to win it at not, yeah. I think 8-7, and then it went, then just, yeah, he couldn't get it done.
Okay.
40-15, I think. Anyway, he definitely was up 40-15 because Leo was, I got, just like I said the other day, we were in here watching on Friday. I'm like, I'm all wound up about him, and I don't have an idea why, but I am. So we're out at lunch, and he, all through the morning, he was with me, and then we went out together, and he said, I never knew you were that into tennis. I'm like, well, really, this guy, it's like maybe a last stand here. It's a big deal, and he's got to look at it. And then when he had that, when he broke Djokovic there, like, okay, this is it. And he's up, and I was really wound up, and then it got away from him, and that was it.
Yeah, that's right. So it goes 12-12, and Djokovic was just perfect in these tie breaks to win it. You know, he's much younger than Federer, but even a long time ago when Federer was not old, there was still just like, there's an assassin element that these other two guys have, including Nadal, that Federer just does not have against them. He's not as often as they are at his best when the points are the biggest. And it's really amazing. It's always been true. It's the same as a decade ago for me. Like, it's always just been this. It's just very weird to criticize him for anything. But I just think there is a difference there. Like, the way Djokovic and Nadal usually can just be so right in the big spots. And Federer sometimes just cracks. And in the tie breaks that happened, I mean, the match ended off his frame. Just the slightest difference. But all these years, like, there's nothing to say anymore about them. Like, they're the best ever and everything, and they're piling up these championships. It's always one or two of these three guys in the finals. That it's just incredible, and everybody knows that and says that. But what happens in these matches doesn't change the picture very much. And no matter what had happened yesterday, I'm not coming out of that thing feeling differently about either guy, you know? I would have been really impressed if Roger won.
Yeah, right. Same. And I would have felt good for some reason because I like him more than the other guys. But
I love Djokovic there, though, his temperament in that match, though, because the crowd was all against him. Mm. And he never lost it. You know it bothers him. The way he carries himself, he talks like it does. You know it bothers him, and he never lost it, even though he was one point away from defeat. He never did.
Yeah.
And then he wins. He goes to the ground. He picks up a couple blades of grass and eats them and stands there and looks at the people. Like, he's smiling. He doesn't flip them off. He doesn't do anything. But he is just, you know, it's intense.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any reason not to like him. I mean, he's fine.
No, yeah. Same.
Federer just has a spell on fans.
Yeah.
That the other two guys, especially Djokovic, do not have.
Yeah.
But another classic.
Yeah. They had a little you were in and out, and so was I, but it happened that I did happen to be watching when this happened. Did you see there was a play at the both guys were close to the net, and Djokovic hit the ball kind of right at Federer. And like, Federer could only, it was big, just defend himself, like, just get out of the way and just get his racket almost upside down to hit the ball. And after that, I thought Federer was a little.
Maybe, he turned and looked at him.
Yeah, like why did you try to hit me with the ball? Kind of like, it just, he seemed like, and I very rarely have ever seen him react at all.
Well, Djokovic gets under his skin
in a
certain way.
Okay,
and like he can be rattled like that.
I thought that was a moment there where that maybe
Djokovic,
was happening.
It was totally fine what he did. Like, he didn't have any other better option you know. So I don't think there's anything to it. But he did seem annoyed. I agree.
Yeah.
803-0550, the update next here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.